Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning, and then Seth and I hit the road. Not together, but we hit the road. This is basically Friday for me and Seth for the next week and a half. So let's make it count, people. John McClain is in the 8 o'clock hour. That'll help. Good to be with you. Payne and Pendergast. I am Pendergast. He is Payne. What's up, Payne?
What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm just contemplating the dominance the Astros have shown over the city of New York.
Yeah.
The nice thing about baseball is that the New York sports teams in baseball actually play in New York, unlike football where they play in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I was surprised Paul Gallant didn't know that originally. Obviously the teams don't go out of their way to advertise it.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably a lot of people that don't know it. But yeah, the New York football teams both play in New Jersey. It's so stupid.
Let's see if I can come up with a quick theory on that, because Paul is part of a younger generation that probably had a lot of their directional and trips and things like that automated for them.
Yeah.
Whereas you and I come from an era where we had to actually use maps at one time.
Everybody had an atlas.
Pull out an atlas.
Tucked in the pocket behind one of the front seats.
Yeah. I like maps. You know, I used to enjoy like thumbing through an atlas and dreaming of going different places and
you
things like that.
Pretend you're a World War II general.
A little bit. The vacation Amy and I are about to go on, we're getting in the truck and we're driving west. We're just going west. I like getting on these open roads in our great country here. And that's my theory, Seth, is that if you're under the age of whatever Paul is, or younger, then there's a good chance that you have had all your trips automated for you, and you may not even know there's 50 states. You may just think we're just one gigantic patch of grass.
It is, though. It is strange, though. I guess that they get away with it. Are there really any other? I mean, it's one thing. Lots of teams play in different cities, you know, scandalously, yeah. like all the Dallas teams, pretty
right.
much. But to go to an entirely different state,
yeah.
closest I could come to it is like Kansas City being named Kansas City, even though everything's in Missouri. But they do play in Kansas City, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fraudulent city in and of itself.
Sure.
They're trying to get away with something, straddling the fence and or river, so to speak.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes. I think, you know, having spent some time there, having grown up close to there, I think North Jersey is basically just viewed as the sixth borough of New York.
I don't think New Yorkers feel that way.
Really? The mob guys definitely didn't on The Sopranos. Remember?
According to Sopranos, yeah.
Yeah, they said
I think they call them the mob. Not the mob, but like catty women from New York might call some woman from New Jersey like a bridge and tunnel queen or something. Because there's a lot of bridges and tunnels there in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So anyway, they don't play there, but the New York baseball teams play within the five boroughs of
New
York.
They're authentic. Yeah.
And they've been getting the snot beat out of
them. They are authentically bad over the last week, yes.
Don't be fooled by the 2-2 record so far, you know, in this little stretch versus the Yankees. Yeah. The Yankees across four games never led in a damn single inning that they entered. They had to rely on walk-offs, which were impressive, don't get me wrong. But the Astros have looked very, very much like one of the dominant teams in the league over this last stretch of games, including last night where Framber Valdez threw eight shutout innings, and without even really the command of his curveball, which is kind of a big deal for Framber, he dealt the pitching. The pitching, except for two damn innings in two baseball games by relievers against the Yankees, has been really exemplary over this.
Incredible. It's been incredible. Yeah, it's been incredible. Yeah. The starters in that Yankees series had an ERA of 0.80, and Framber did nothing to diminish that with his start yesterday with the eight shutout innings. Seth, you mentioned it in that Yankees series. They never trailed, I'll call it in-game. Like, the only time the Yankees ever led were the two walk-offs by Judge. I'll extrapolate that out further. That trend is not just from that four-game series. They never trailed against the Mets in the two games they played against the Mets here. They didn't trail against the Mets last night. They didn't trail against the White Sox in the last game of that series. The last eight games, the only time the Astros have trailed is after a Mike Judge hit to walk it off. That's it. That's
You know what Ocho is saying right now? Ocho is typing into his phone right now. This Astros team is going to enter the postseason unprepared to play from behind.
Yeah,
they're going to fall apart the first time that they face a deficit.
Is it weird that crossed my mind last night and I was slightly worried about it for a second? And then I remember you reminding me that I pooped my pants earlier this week, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to be worried about the little thing. I'm not going to sweat the small stuff anymore.
Yeah, you're sitting here. Would you have believed after Presley blew that three-run save, with a three-run lead. How long ago now?
It was last Thursday,
yeah. So a week ago. Well, would you have believed that a week from then you'd be preening over?
No, obviously not. Friday morning, no. Yeah. I was cowering in the corner like a little baby. Of course I wouldn't have believed it.
This is a game that I guess this stretch of games versus the Mets and Yankees, which – reminder to everybody, you get another game versus the Yankees tomorrow.
Yes, I will be there.
They shouldn't matter that much to the Mets and the Yankees individually. Like, neither of those teams should be saying, like, oh, no, oh, boy, the Astros have our number. Obviously, the Yankees are 2-2 so far. But I think it did, because of the circumstances, because of time of year, because of the woeful, I say woeful, substandard by far by Astro standards offense of the first half of the season, this has been much more important for the Astros, I think,
than
the Yankees or the Mets. Because the sum total of playing so well, so consistently against these two really good teams, those two teams can reasonably and understandably write it off as just, you know, a few games in a 162 game season. This feels real and very substantial for the Astros.
Do you think the Yankees can write it off? Are you sure about that?
I know, but I think it's not like all of a sudden the Yankees show that they're a bad team or something. I think it's just that for them, if anything, it's a little bit of a kick in the butt and a reminder that, all right, look, they haven't necessarily faced the true tough parts of their schedule already. Yeah. So, like, let's not just crown ourselves champions.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Yankees, I don't know, I'll have to talk to some of my friends from up there and see. Like, I went into this particular Yankees series. Now, let me back up. The two games against the Mets made me feel like, all right, well, maybe this Yankees thing won't be as daunting as it looks. The Yankees, this version of the Yankees is a different animal than the good version we've seen the last few years. Seth, this is a version of the Yankees that has a wager out there now available where you can bet on them breaking the regular season win total. Like, this is
right.
This is a different kind of Yankees team. I think the Yankees series was a big one because I think this was a different Yankees team, and it's been, to your point, not in a good way, a different Astros team. And I think for them to show, not only, I know it's 2-2 in the standings, but the Astros were the better team clearly over the course of those four games. I think that was one that the Yankees are going to look at a little bit and go, okay, our regular season record, whatever, we're going to have to face these guys at some point. And it doesn't matter that we won 118 games in the regular season.
Yeah, but I also think that you can't write off the fact that the Yankees had to win with a couple of walk-offs, because it's kind of like when the Astros could win with a walk-off, when you're loaded with stud hitters and, like, you can't really – it's hard to pitch around people mm-hmm. in that Yankees lineup. I think that it's more reliable that the Yankees can do that again. So that, like, that's how they are built, that they can kind of struggle offensively and not keep up, but then all of a sudden finish it with one swing. So, I'm not discounting that. I just don't think, I think for the Yankees, it was the right kind of, like in any sport, like in football, when an undefeated team loses, you say, like, you know what, probably was good for them, because it reminds them that, oh yeah, it's really hard to win in this game, and especially in the playoffs. I think for the Yankees, Sean, who, let's remember, this has been their bugaboo. They don't take the game seriously enough when they get to the postseason. They think they're going to Yankee their way to a championship.
So you think the Astros gave them a wake-up call?
Yeah. Look, Judge has sucked in the playoffs in terms of being a team leader. Yeah. He talks smack at the wrong moments. He walks out of Fenway with a boombox playing a Sinatra song and then ends up getting destroyed. Yeah. He talks smack or he taunts Altuve. That was in the regular season, but he's got this history of it.
Yeah.
Like, Yankees fans know this about Judge. They get really nervous when he starts getting a little cocky. So I bet Yankees fans are probably happy that a little bit of humility might have been injected into them.
All right. So there you go. We've got the Mets today at Citi Field at noon. It's a noon 12:10 first pitch day. So it's an afternoon game, and then, as Seth pointed out, one game, Yankees, Astros at Minute Maid Park. It was lined up as Verlander versus Cole on Sunday on the books. Both teams have backed out of that. It's Garcia versus Severino. Still should be a really fun day at the yard, but
yeah.
Garcia versus Severino is a bit of a come down from Verlander Cole.
They didn't want Verlander facing the same team twice.
Yeah.
They try to minimize that as much as possible. Verlander prefers EFT. Going on 4 days rest. It feels to me, Sean, like how in the NBA, especially when load management had gotten really bad,
yeah.
teams were starting to rest their best players versus the best opponents.
Yeah.
Because they figured, like, well, why bother? It's a toss-up anyway.
Yep.
Like, it was really annoying there in the NBA for a little bit. This feels a little bit like that.
All right.
You had the chance for Cole versus Verlander. Come on, give the people what they want.
All right.
What the hell?
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. We'll get to Deshaun Watson at the bottom of the hour, the latest on the Deshaun Watson disciplinary hearing. But there was news off the field for the Astros yesterday. Why can't this lineup all stay healthy at the same time? Update. Update bad and update good, because there's a good thing going on in the minor leagues for the Astros. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Michael Brantley goes to the injured list yesterday. He was asked about it before the game. It's a shoulder. It's a right shoulder. He left the game earlier this week, I believe, against the Yankees on Sunday. He left the game with some right shoulder discomfort. Here's Brantley saying he hopes it is not long term.
Yeah, my shoulder's not too happy right now. But at the same time, we have a good idea of what we need to do to get back as soon as possible. I'm upset I had to go on the IL for this, but at the same time, in the best interest of, you know, being 100% healthy moving forward.
Do you think this will extend beyond the 10 days? Or
I can't answer that right now. I know when we go back home, I get to see our great doctors that we had back in Houston to determine, but I'm very hopeful that it'll be right around there.
It sounded like Michael Brantley was giving that soundbite while playing a bass drum. Did you notice that, Ben? Let's picture Michael Brantley standing at his locker talking to Brian McTaggart, and he's got a bass drum at his foot, and he's got the little like foot mallet thing, the little pedal where he's hitting it, like he's just playing. Play that one more time, real quick.
But at the same time, we have a good idea of what we need to do to get back as soon as possible. I'm upset I had to go on the IL for this, but at the same time, in the best interest of, you know, being 100% healthy.
Good enough. All right. Yeah. It sounded like he was playing a bass drum.
Well, there's always music playing in the background. It's not like the Club Astros days, which, by the way,
yeah.
If you need a reason to try to dredge up some hatred for Alex
Cora, we never brought this up. Yeah.
The Red Sox, there was this article in The Athletic about the vibrant atmosphere that the Red Sox have after wins with disco lights, somebody wearing a feather boa, like all this stuff where you're like, oh, this sounds suspiciously like the formerly great Club Astros. And like in the article, not a single mention, I controlled F, of any Astros inspiration or anything. They tried to credit somebody from something they did in the minor league. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. So the Sox, who I believe are second now in the AL East, they just made the list, my friend.
Sounds to me like Alex Cora is not only guilty of concocting sign-stealing scandals, he's guilty of plagiarism as well.
He's stealing sign-stealing methods and club concepts.
Yes.
Feels like, you know what it feels like? Yeah. It feels like Planet Hollywood when they started opening up Planet Hollywoods everywhere, like in Peoria, Illinois. And
right.
Stuff. Like, oh, cool. I get to go to Planet Hollywood in Indiana. Do you think Arnold will be in there when I go? No.
No.
None of these stars are ever here.
Just a gigantic wax statue of him. Thanks a lot.
We've got the stand-in. We've got the understudy for the girl who played the high school production of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
She's going to show up at some point.
Dressed as Arnold, yes.
So that's what the Red Sox Club Astros is.
Back to the Astros for a second and Michael Brantley. Yeah, back to Brantley.
This I was reading this article you had sent from MLB.com where they did this all-star candidates for every team, a stealth all-star,
sort of like a low-key under-the-radar all-star for each team.
Brantley, they said, in an uncertain world, Brantley almost silently putting together another season in the neighborhood of 300 at the plate feels as comfortable as an old shoe.
Mm. That sounds a little dramatic there.
It sounds almost like a movie trailer.
A movie trailer for a Michael Brantley movie?
Yes. An action thriller, maybe with a little dab of comedy with some one-liners and what have you.
Like a Lethal Weapon kind of thing.
Yes.
Because that was very dramatic, but also had some comedy in the Lethal Weapon.
Ben, can you play some movie trailer music?
Yeah, DJ,
please?
Play us some movie trailer.
So this was, as written by MLB.com, the movie trailer for Uncle Buck 2.
Uncle Mike. Uncle
Brantley Boogaloo.
My uncle's right shoulder. Okay. Yes.
In an uncertain world, Brantley almost silently puts together another season in the neighborhood of 300 at the plate. It feels as comfortable as an old shoe.
Do you think this will extend beyond the 10 days? Or
I can't answer that right now. I know when we go back home, I get to see our great doctors that we had back in Houston to determine, but I'm very hopeful that it'll be right around there.
Michael Brantley. I can't do that now, that raspy.
It's Michael Brantley in my uncle's right shoulder.
Oh, that's much better. Yes, that's much better.
In a world.
You got to do movie guy from now on. You got to get that kind of that little bit of raspiness to it.
Yeah. I like it.
Brantley would be, you know, Brantley was actually pretty good in Bregman's little salsa videos that he did a couple years ago. the
yeah, he was
that dramatized Western type thing.
He's got some chops. All right, so yeah. the actual baseball part of this, how concerned are we about Michael Brantley?
He's old. I'm concerned that he's old.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'll be fine. I think that look, Chaz McCormick. Jeez. This is the uncomfortable truth right now here is that J.J. Mattejavik actually, he either hits home runs or he strikes out. I think
he got robbed last night.
Yeah.
He hit a smoker last night, and Escobar made a great play on it.
Okay. Yeah. Is that one of his 8 strikeouts? No, it wasn't. So he strikes the hell out. So, but Chaz chases like crazy. Siri is Siri. And it's just a matter at this point of, okay, Brantley needs to come back. Guys are going to get banged up. You've got it feels you're just less able to withstand an extra soft spot in the lineup this year compared to other previous years.
Yep.
You know, where you might be able to say, like, all right, Mariznick sucks at the plate, but whatevs. He's an awesome outfielder. Yeah, it's not as easy to absorb a Mariznick anymore.
Yeah, here's where I'm at with the Brantley injury, Seth, is that Brantley is older, no doubt about that. He doesn't seem too worried about it, and I do think that, especially coming up on a stretch of schedule here where they're playing all the way through till July 11th is their next day off. So they got a stretch here. But it's against some fairly easy competition. It's some Angels games, a bunch of Royals games, and some A's games and things like that. Brantley is one guy where I think this season, as we were talking about yesterday, the Astros aren't catching the Yankees for the number one seed. Nobody's catching the Astros in the AL West. Am I mildly worried that whoever wins the Central might catch the Astros? I suppose, but it's not like Brantley is even one of your 5 best players on this team. He's a good player. He's a good, solid pro. I think, to me, this is almost just like, oh, your shoulder has a little bit of a tinge to it. Let's just give you 10 days off.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything to be alarmed about at all. I think they look at this patch of schedule coming up and go, okay, we can get through this without Brantley. We need to have a full roster in case we need pinch hitters or defensive replacements and things like that. So let's load manage Michael Brantley a little bit, get the shoulder right, and make sure that he's good going into the second half of the season. I think that's all it is. I'm not worried. So. But he is quietly, this article is right, he is quietly 288, 370 on base percentage, .416 slug. Like, he's quietly, like, right back at about an 800 OPS, Michael Brantley is. So, there you go. All right, Deshaun Watson. The hearing began yesterday. Before we tell you that, I got to tell you, Kenny Mayne has joined the Odyssey family with his new podcast. Hey, Mayne, each week, Kenny will talk to someone he knows a little and is fascinated by a lot. Athletes, musicians, celebrities, and just about anyone else. Download Hey Mayne on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Right now you can listen to interviews with Chris Berman, Ben Schwartz, let's see, who else here? Clyde Oberholt of House of Lies, and voice of Sonic the Hedgehog. So there you go. Kenny Mayne getting the big names for his podcast. All right, up next, Deshaun Watson. The hearing has begun. What do we expect the timeline to be on this thing? A little bit of that got leaked yesterday. What are they saying in Cleveland about this whole thing? That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, real quick, before we get into Deshaun Watson, just because shorter segment in the previous segment, so we only got to Brantley. I also teased some good news, and I feel like I should give that to people while they're in their cars on the way in. If you drive into work, you want a little something good, a little something to sprinkle in there. Forrest Whitley last night, Seth.
Yes.
At Class A Fayetteville.
Mm.
Forrest Whitley, 3 innings pitched, no hits, no runs, no walks, 5 strikeouts. He's going to fit hand in glove into this rotation, which routinely no hits people for extended innings.
Are we going to be wringing our hands over an 8-man rotation? How the hell are we going to make do with an 8-man rotation? We're going to piggyback 3 guys
that
in
would
one
be
game.
Something.
Yeah. We'll have an opener. No, you know what we'll do? We'll have a setup opener, then an opener, then the otherwise starter going into a game in the playoffs.
I don't want to get too worked up over a guy coming off Tommy John surgery and A-ball right now, but like Forrest Whitley's been a forgotten thing. Like Forrest, this is a $100 bill that you just found in the couch. You know,
the problem with Forrest Whitley has been just how startlingly inconsistent he's been through a combination of weight fluctuations. Not showing up in shape, according to Brent Strom, to the COVID spring training, PED suspension, which
yes,
was likely some kind of attention. It was likely some kind of ADD drug.
Sure.
An injury, I suppose. So, yes, we know that he's capable of striking out 19-year-old non-drafted players.
Yeah,
let's see him do it more. But
yes.
I will openly welcome the chance to be absolutely wrong about any kind of pessimism I have for Forrest Whitley. He could be the next Kyle Tucker.
Can you imagine?
You know, the guy that's despised almost because he's a hot prospect.
Right.
And not performing well. And then ultimately you're like, oh, yeah, I was one of those guys. I never wavered
remember
in my
that?
Trust for Kyle
dude,
Tucker.
Dude, remember that? The trade Tucker talk, like when he came up and he started out slow. Like, you need help in the rotation. Just trade Kyle Tucker. Like, okay, now he's like the best right fielder. He's like the best right fielder in the American League. Okay. Can you imagine vindication for Jeff Luhnow not moving Forrest Whitley coming in like the year 2025 or something like that? Like, that would be the longest play out of vindication of all time.
It would be. You know what it would be, though, too, is as much as the pipeline isn't what it used to be for the Astros.
Yeah.
Is he at all? What would he have to do given his checkered past? He is still only 24 years old. What would he have to do to become like a really hot commodity on the trade market, or is he already just because of his potential?
That's a good question. I mean he's coming off Tommy John surgery. He'd have to keep doing this. I think
everybody gets a Tommy John these days.
You're right. But you listed a bunch of other reasons as to why he might be a distressed asset. I don't know that there's enough time to make him a hot trade prospect for this trade deadline. I mean, we have a month. You know,
call
like
him up.
Yeah,
call him up and have him come in
the middle of a pennant race.
Yes, just have him come in for long relief,
dude.
One of these games.
He can't be worse than Paredes was last night. Paredes walking everybody.
I got nostalgic for about one pitch.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
this is why he was at Sugar Land the whole time.
You know what they should do?
What?
They should just, let's see, the problem is The problem is they don't face Carrasco again, probably. So that's a,
whenever the Astros
face Carrasco, they jump out with four runs or so. So you just go ahead and then bring Forrest Whitley in just for long relief. He gets three or four solid major league innings in on him, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're trading him for some offense.
I like it. All right. So Deshaun Watson yesterday had the first day of what is reportedly going to be many days, potentially, of his hearing. This is Mark Maskey of the Washington Post posted this yesterday at the end of the day. He's the one that had he had one of the more recent articles kind of laying out some of the particulars of where the Deshaun Watson situation is. He's pretty plugged in. The Deshaun Watson disciplinary hearing that began today, which is yesterday, this is the tweet I'm reading, is expected to last for multiple days. It's not known yet when Sue L. Robinson, the NFLPA disciplinary officer, will issue a ruling. He goes on to say the NFLPA has maintained throughout its deliberations with the NFL that Watson should not be suspended. The league is arguing to Sue Robinson for an indefinite suspension of at least one full season. So, you know, you can kind of see, I don't know, Seth, I feel like I can kind of see the writing on the wall. And I'm not basing this on assuming that I know anything about the truth with Deshaun Watson. We know all the things that we do know to be truth with Deshaun, and some of that is some pretty damning stuff. But I think you can see what both sides are doing here, can't you? I mean, like, the NFL is going in extreme, saying that indefinite suspension of at least 1 year, like that, I mean, like an unprecedented kind of thing, where he'd have to apply for reinstatement after a year. It's not a suspension, and it just ends. He'd have to apply for reinstatement at the end of a year. And meanwhile, Rusty Harden and the NFLPA and Jeffrey Kessler are going zero games. We have two sides that see this thing completely the opposite, which to me says probably somewhere right in the middle.
Well, this is where it gets so interesting with Sue Robinson and exactly how she views it. Because if you think about the nature of these types of I'd say crimes, but it's not a criminal court. But you know what I mean? The nature of these types of cases are that they're hard to get convictions in a criminal court, or in the case of these particular ones, or at least the ones that filed criminal complaints, that it was, you know, the grand juries chose not to indict. So what kind of standard of evidence is Sue Robinson using? Is it a standard of evidence that's closer to kind of the criminal side of things, or is a standard of evidence that's closer to the civil court side of things, where it's more it's a preponderance of evidence or a probability that something happened or that somebody was liable for it? We just don't know. It's not a jury that you're appealing to here. And I would tend to think that maybe the judge might see things a little bit more critically, I suppose.
What do you mean? What do you mean by critically?
Like more on the side of, like, in a criminal case, you need proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yep.
So if she's looking at it through that lens, it's different than like a jury in a civil trial who might be swayed by certain tactics of the attorneys or what have you.
Yeah.
So that's where the all or nothing thing might make some sense. I mean, she might come out and say that, look, this is the evidence, and I didn't see the evidence stack up to something that I could have looked at as beyond a reasonable doubt. Whatever standard she's using, I don't know. And that's when the bleep will really hit the
fan. That'll be a firestorm. Yeah. And this isn't, I'm not trying to indict Deshaun Watson or whatever, but we know which way the wind is blowing on this thing right now publicly. I mean, even half of Cleveland doesn't like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And that's where he's going to be playing for the next 5 years.
I think, though, too, the thing that Roger Goodell might realize, if that were the scenario, like, let's say Deshaun gets not that many games punishment, I think the large-scale reaction, for the most part, is going to be pretty negative about that.
Yeah.
Where Goodell, who for years and years and years had wanted to be the face of discipline in the NFL, I think one thing you might realize in a scenario like that is like, oh, wow, Sue Robinson's taking all the heat. And then I get to be the guy that steps in and actually maybe increases the punishment because he's allowed to under the CBA. If the NFL appeals, he can increase the punishment. But he'll actually be viewed as a guy who's coming down tougher, but without having to necessarily, give a 2-year sentence to look like the tough guy.
Yeah. I think the more we lay this out, and I want to lay out a little bit about Sue Robinson here in a second, but this thing may come down to how Goodell wants the new disciplinary process to be viewed moving forward. This may come down to, we know this, according to reports, the team that Goodell has assigned to investigate this thing wants to really whack Deshaun. They want to hit him hard with a suspension. Those are Goodell's employees that want to do that. So to me, it's going to come down to, does Goodell, if Sue Robinson were to go light, that's a big variable. We don't know what Sue Robinson is at this point, but let's pretend that Sue Robinson meets in the middle and says 12 games, which is less than what the league wants. Then it comes down to Goodell, if the league does indeed appeal and say, hey, we wanted this. It comes down to, does Goodell do what his employees want him to do and what a lot of the public wants him to do? Or does he look at the bigger picture and say, I can't undermine this new disciplinary process the first time out? You know, we collectively bargained this thing. I can't make it look like it's something that's just a total farce. Even something as unprecedented and as high profile as this, we got to live with this disciplinary process for a long, long time. I do. I wonder how much he values that. I'm not saying that's what he's going to do. I'm just saying that's one of the variables that we got to consider.
Yeah, no, it is. There's a whole lot. Like, it's impossible to predict. And you know what's funny, though, too, is I guess it was a little bit annoying that the NFLPA apparently is going this route of saying, hey, look at these owners who didn't receive any discipline at all for their role in either Bob Kraft soliciting prostitution, Jerry Jones with one of his employees being accused of surreptitiously videotaping the cheerleaders, and yet leaving out the fact that there are owners who have been punished and suspended. The NFLPA has done a pretty good job of framing this, like, hey, look at this. Owners never get any comeuppance. Like, Jim Irsay was suspended for 6 games. Daniel Snyder supposedly isn't supposed to be around his team, but it seems like he is a little bit. Bob Kraft was fined. So it's not like the owners haven't received any comeuppance. And then the other thing, too, is I don't know, where does that resonate with you? I feel like a lot of our listeners, at least, when they hear players say, like, well, look, the owners got away with it. I think a lot of people that work a job are like, yeah, I mean, they're the owners. Like, they get away with stuff. It's they say supposedly they're held to the same standard, but it's just a different deal.
The problem is these owners have publicly said as a group, we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard than the players.
It's in the player conduct policy.
So that's the difference to me right there.
And it's Sue Robinson seeing that and hearing that for the first time as this independent arbitrator.
Yeah, she's like, okay, do I have to take this literally here? It says it right here. As far as Sue Robinson goes, you and I both separately did a little bit of research on her yesterday. I wanted to go see, like, okay, what's her area of expertise? What's her background? Are there some landmark cases that kind of land in the same neighborhood as what Deshaun is being accused of?
Yeah.
And what I came away with was, I'm a little surprised that this is who they chose to dole out player conduct punishments. And here is Robinson's background, is that she was nominated by George Bush, Sr., George H.W. Bush, as a district to be a federal judge in a district court in Delaware in 91. First woman chief judge for the district, and served in that position 2000 to 2007. And then she was active as a judge over several different presidential administrations through 2017 when she retired. This is the part that confused me, Seth.
She sounds like Anthony Fauci to me, Sean. I don't
Judge Robinson.
I'm just trying to get the people going.
I know. Yeah, come on, text page. Let's go. Judge Robinson's field of expertise includes, okay, I was expecting this part to say, whether it's human rights or sexual misconduct or whatever.
She was consulted for CSI SVU.
I was kind of hoping for something like that.
Something like that.
Antitrust, intellectual property, trademark and copyright, bankruptcy, and pharmaceuticals.
Oh, only one of those applies to NFL players with the juicy stuff. They all apply to the pharmaceuticals. They all apply to the NFLPA and the NFL. And I guess it makes sense when a lot of the stuff that doesn't get the headlines is those two sides arguing about, you know, money that should go here or there or stuff like that. A lot of the boring stuff. Yeah, this feels like I was expecting to hopefully see her have a little bit of a juicier past,
or at least
like
something
preside over, like,
so, you know, something that fits fits what we're dealing with right now.
It was like I was expecting to go in to watch the movie Backdraft, and instead it was a lecture on risk management or something. You know,
it's just a little bit.
Sue Robinson, like, I don't know, like, could you try to snazz up these hearings a little bit somehow? Maybe yell at somebody?
No kidding. So that surprised me a little bit that was her background.
Especially when she goes by Sue instead of Susan.
That
suggested to me that maybe she was a little bit more like, hey, shooting from the hip.
Yeah. A little more freewheeling. Yeah.
Yeah. But if she is, it's like, oh, she's the shooting from the hip antitrust judge.
Right. Yeah. Like,
I still don't even know. Look, it's been like 40 years since I learned that word in school, antitrust. And I still don't know if that means like it's a good thing or a bad thing when you're antitrust.
Dude,
I don't have a clue.
Dude, then don't go to Jeff Passan's timeline from yesterday. He had one of these passing 13 tweet strings on there about minor league baseball and what minor league baseball, I guess, is trying to do something with the antitrust exemption to get better working conditions or blah, blah, blah. I tried. I got two or three tweets in and I'm like, this is some of the most boring stuff I've ever read in my life.
I feel like I understand a lot about antitrust law, but I still don't actually understand the word antitrust. Yeah. Like, I don't know if like the antitrust is like the monopolies being against the public trust, or if the antitrust is trying to defy trusts, which is a synonym for monopolies.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. And yet, I feel like I understand antitrust law.
Oh, yeah. What I learned
is kind of like how I feel like I probably sexually satisfy my wife, and yet I still believe the clitoris is a myth. Don't dump that, Ben. It's a biological term, Ben. If you dump that,
he was reaching for it. Yeah.
Oh.
He didn't. He followed your instructions. But this is on your ticket now, Seth.
You're going to get. I probably shouldn't have. Yeah. That's an explanation that people have to give now. Yeah. So I apologize. Yeah. I apologize that your children are going to be incredible lovers.
Learning body.
You know, that your son is going to grow up to be a magnificent lover someday. I apologize.
Yeah.
I apologize for the women that will be knocking on your door late at night trying to get a hold of
these
your
These are
son.
The things Sorry. You can't get on YouTube. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was listening in on some Cleveland radio yesterday, Seth, and the overriding consensus seems to be that if Deshaun Watson gets an 8-game suspension, it's a massive win for the Browns, which I tend to agree with right now.
Yeah. I do think, though, one thing the NFL is doing well, in my opinion, compared to what Tony Busby did, is that they're focusing on 5 cases. And like one concern I had about Tony Busby's strategy the entire way was, man, it seemed like women were walking through the door and the next day he was announcing a lawsuit. And I just didn't know how wise that might be when I felt like how much did you actually vet them and those cases? Because what's going to happen is even though it's not a class action suit, people are going to lump them together in their minds and the weakest cases are going to hurt the chances of the stronger cases. So I think the NFL said, okay, here are 5 cases where we feel like we have the strongest evidence and we can focus on this. Whereas the other thing that happens too with the multiple cases on Deshaun's side is it's taxing on the prosecutor's office. It's like mentally taxing on jurors and the attorney general, all that stuff. Not the attorney general, sorry. The district attorney.
Yeah.
There's kind of a... You get flooded with too much information, and it becomes overwhelming as opposed to focusing on some very salient and strong points. So I think the NFL is wise to only focus on what they feel are the 5 strongest cases.
The only thing I would say about Busby and the volume of cases being something that might detract from things, which I think is what you're saying, is that I think we learned from our conversation with Rusty Harden that the sheer volume was something that was really hard for them to deal with. And I'll say this, Seth, let's see what happened with the 4 cases that are still open. If those go to trial and Deshaun loses those cases, then Busby's strategy played out perfectly.
I think, but the thing is, too, remember, we've had our bar kind of reset for what we think a lot of sexual misconduct accusations are. In a normal world, 2 years ago, if you heard about a player with 5 against him at a given time, that's a whole lot. That's unprecedented. you know?
Absolutely.
Now it's almost like, all right, wake me up when it gets to 2,700. Like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's just the number is so big.
With this case,
but again,
yeah.
The number is so big that it almost defies comprehension, and people kind of close up when they're confronted with something that's hard to comprehend.
Yep.
Or hard to focus on. It's the old thing, like whenever kids, listen, I'm giving you a wealth of information this morning. This one will be more on the academic side of things. Whenever you're making an argument for anything, focus on ideally at most your three strongest points. You might have seven arguments you think are all brilliant.
Yeah.
Trust me, there are three that are better than the other four, and people will grasp those three.
Yeah.
Never more than three if you can help
it. It's nice that you're sharing this with the kids. Too bad they're all Googling the female anatomy right now, not paying any attention to you.
I'll tell you this. The three body parts to focus on.
Up next.
One, the aforementioned one that we talked about.
Yeah.
Two, the nape of the neck.
Yeah, and I was going to say the neck.
Three,
yeah.
And three, Sean,
yeah.
Most important.
Yeah.
The mind.
Ah, yes, the sense of humor.
The emotions, intelligence.
That is good. That is good advice,
special.
Actually.
Yes.
That is good advice, yes. Because most of you are going to be ugly when it's all said and done, and you need a good sense of humor. I speak from experience. All right. Let's get into the Astros again. The latest.
Did Ben take those notes down for himself? I want him to.
He's been scribbling something in there. Might be a might be a request to produce a different show. I don't
his
know.
Resignation.
Yeah, exactly. A fake prescription for the heart attack you just gave him.
Sick of Seth showing up drunk.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. The latest. I thought we were done with these wickedly poor takes on the Astros and the sign-stealing scandal and the quote-unquote lack of a punishment for the players. We're not out of the woods yet, evidently. That's next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.